This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you. As Jonathan said, my experience is not in local government, but in the cooperative and mutual sector and in the commercial sector. What I want to cover today is a little bit about why accounting standards are important in the process that you guys might be going through in terms of the spinning out of these organisations. A little bit about accounting standards and how they react with the sector. Some bad news, because accounting standards are in a period of flux and change, so a little bit about those changes for you. And then finally, to talk about other performance measures and how the types of performance measures are relevant to the different types of businesses. And I hope to draw together a few conclusions of that. It seems to me that at the outset of an organisation, you know, why are we talking about accounting standards in a forum like this? But it seems to me that at the outset of an organisation, it's important to understand how the performance of that organisation is going to be reported and how the performance is going to be measured internally. And that would include both financial and non-financial measures. And actually, consideration of those issues will affect the way that you present the business plan. It will also affect the way the type of people you recruit into the finance function, and it will also determine the way the systems are set up to gather the information that you subsequently want to report on. So it seems to me accounting standards are potentially important in the process that you're going through. And just perhaps to make that even more relevant, as Gareth was talking this morning around his position with the Audit Commission, it occurred to me that there was this accounting question, and it may be a bit of a techie accounting question, but does Gareth have to account for goodwill on the acquisition of the Audit Commission business into his new employee mutual? And if he does, will that goodwill then be amortised through the income statement or subject to annual impairment testing? Bit of a techie question, but actually, in terms of the way the results are presented a year down the line or 2 years down the line, pretty important, could be quite significant in terms of what other people see. So it seems to me that, and the answer, by the way, is it depends. and it therefore seemed to me that it is something that important that we need to consider. And really, to take you out of your suspense that I know you're feeling, KCPIs are key cooperative performance indicators, and CESPES is not the thing that I'll be helping to empty at the cricket club on Saturday, but cooperative environmental and social performance indicators. As I said, we are in a time of change and flux at the moment in terms of accounting standards. As this quote from Sir David Tweedy, who's the chair of the International Accounting Standards Board, illustrates, years from now we'll look back on 2011 as a year when the future path of financial reporting was determined. So accounting standards are important, because accounting standards determine the way that transactions and balances are recognised, measured and disclosed in your accounts. That directly affects the credit the suppliers will give you, the amount of money you can borrow from a bank, the tax you'll pay, because for a large extent tax follows the accounting, and how easy or difficult it is to communicate to your members and stakeholders the financial story of the business during the year. But we have something of a problem. Accounting standards are designed for companies, not cooperatives or social enterprises. To quote David Tweedy again, my vision, not surprisingly, includes IFRS as the common basis of financial reporting for listed companies throughout the world. Note, listed companies. That's been the accounting standard setter's primary driver listed companies on the capital, raising capital on the capital markets. So accounting standards are designed for companies. Also, accounting standards are designed for people who, by people who don't understand cooperatives, mutuals, social enterprises, although, to be fair, they are getting better. We've created a body of accounting standards which produce accounts which can only be understood by analysts. Did you know, for example, that the post office would only take one set of HSBC accounts per post bag because they were so heavy last year? And to make it worse, the UK currently has two different systems of accounting: UK GAAP, the body of standards which we've grown up with in the UK, and international accounting standards. But accounting standards drive most of the financial reporting for cooperatives and mutuals. We've talked about IPSs as a legal form. The other thing that drives accounting is the law. Well, in terms of the law and in terms of accounting, IPSs stopped at the 1967 Companies Act. So what is shown in the accounts of an IPS is almost wholly driven by accounting standards. And for an organisation to be credible in the outside world, you have to comply. Non-compliance is not an option. So that gives us something of a problem. What's the solution? Solution, I think, is on two levels. Firstly, to engage with the accounting standard setters, and the second is to interpret accounting standards for the various sectors in which people operate in. So engage, I think, means responding to consultation. And the Co-op Performance Committee, of which I've been advisor to for a number of years, now engages directly with the ASB in that, sorry, the Accounting Standards Board, in that a representative of that board attends each of those meetings. We are beginning to have an impact. Recent literature, recent draft exposure drafts, make reference to the sector. They make reference to cooperatives. They make reference to credit unions. They make reference to other people within the sector. And even the International Accounting Standards Board is starting to recognise some of the issues. And we do have the ability still to interpret accounting standards. Most accounting standards are still principles-based rather than rules-based. Therefore, that does give organisations and sectors an opportunity to interpret them, to make sense of them for them. So, again, the Cooperative Performance Committee interprets standards for cooperatives, and other trade bodies, the Building Society Association and what have you, help to interpret accounting standards for those mutuals. I'd just like to kind of illustrate this by a little case study. About 5 years ago, when the accounting standards on financial instruments, the international accounting standards on financial instruments, were being brought into the UK, they potentially could have had a significant effect on the treatment of cooperative share capital. Now, cooperative share capital has elements which are both could be considered debt or could be considered equity. In the past, cooperative share capital had always been treated as equity. Under the new standards, it was likely that the cooperative share capital would be treated as debt, which caused cooperatives quite a significant problem. You can imagine what their bankers would think if suddenly all this additional debt came onto the balance sheet. Therefore, what they did, and this was actually the movement worldwide as much as the UK, was to engage with the Accounting Standards Board and actually achieve the Accounting Standards Board giving an interpretation, an IFRIC, to use the jargon, which allowed cooperative share capital to be treated as equity if there was an absolute right on the Board of Governors to be able to stop people withdrawing that share capital, which was the main thing that made it debt. So that, one, identifies the issue that accounting standards actually can have a big impact on your business, but also, two, but by engagement, you can get good results for the sector. So what are the futures? UK GAAP is going to be no more. The standards that I love and grew up with, including SSAP 9, which has been in all my working life, are now going to go. And also, there are one or two other things on the IASB agenda, which I just want to kind of bring to your attention. So, where's financial reporting in the UK going to go? There are currently two draft FRSs out. One says where financial reporting is going to go, and the second is a detailed standard for medium-sized entities. And I would think that it would be that standard that most of the spin-outs would go to, would actually be drive the accounting. First, the good news. The good news, it's only 400 pages long. Don't ask me how much is in IAS. And it's all in one place. The bad news is there are differences to our existing UK GAAP, and there are differences to international accounting standards, although the primary difference to international accounting standards is in the level of disclosure that needs giving in accounts. So those are out there at the moment. The comment deadlines are 30th of April, and they will be effective for accounting periods beginning on or after the 1st of July 2013, which sounds a long way away but actually isn't, and particularly in the context of getting these spin-outs that we're talking about now, that could well be the first year of accounting. So I think it's important that you guys recognise that that is likely to be the regime that we're going to be reporting in. And what is this proposed regime? In essence, there are three tiers to the regime. Tier one is for publicly accountable entities. And publicly accountable entities are defined as either if an organisation is on a public market, so any EU listed market or the AIM listing, or, and I have to read this, I'm sorry, has as one of its primary businesses, it holds assets in a fiduciary capacity for a broad group of outsiders and or is a deposit-taking entity for a broad group of outsiders. So that could potentially include small financial mutuals like credit unions. It may include some of the organisations that are spun off. It actually doesn't include cooperatives, and it doesn't include wider social businesses in general. So that's tier one. And if you're in tier one, you have to apply full IFRS with everything that involves, the 2,000 or 3,000 pages of standards that are involved with that. Tier three is for small entities. So, and it's a company's definition of small, so 50 or fewer staff, turnover less than 6.5 million of assets, sorry, turnover less than 6.5 million or assets less than 3.2 million. And it's two out of three of those to qualify. So, and that leaves everybody else in tier two. And in tier two, you have to apply this new FRS, the FRS for medium-sized entities, which to 80-90% is totally based on the IFRS for small and medium-sized entities. I could spend all day on that slide, but I will move on. Just to flag out some of the key things that are out there in the future, the ISB is looking at the moment on new standards around leasing, revenue recognition, liabilities, you know, some fundamental things, really. Leasing one is particularly interesting in that the distinction between finance leases and operating leases is going to go. So all leases would be on balance sheet if that standard comes into place in the way it's determined at the moment. Revenue recognition actually could cause a problem for the cooperative movement in terms of it if it's divvy, that divvy may, under that standard, have to be accounted for as a reduction in turnover, rather than shown separately as a return to stakeholders. And liabilities. So some fundamental issues. So it's a question of watching this space. So that's really the accounting standards. I think, hope that I've demonstrated that it's important in considering these spin-outs that you consider the accounting, because that's how performance is reported. But the other aspect of performance is what financial and non-financial measures should be used to both monitor the business and to report to stakeholders. What is it that they should have had in place in the case study, that organisation, Inspire, should have had in place to be able to manage and monitor their performance? The cooperative movement has really come up with two sets of measures. One's a financial set of measures, and these are relevant to the cooperative movement. The individual measures may or may not be relevant to the individual businesses, but what the financial measures are around profitability or surplus measures, financial stability and growth measures. And the importance of these measures is twofold. One is that you can see the performance of the business or the organisation over time. So how are they doing over time on these areas? And secondly, how do they compare across with their peer group? And that gives the lay boards of these organisations some information to be able to hold the executive management to account for the performance of their organisation. So that's the KCPIs, and I won't tell you about the number of hours that I've spent debating on what should or shouldn't be included in return on capital employed. And in a sense, it doesn't matter, because what's important is that you make a decision and then you run with that measure over time. And then the CESPEs, they're really non-financial performance measures, and they were developed as indicators to give information around 10 different areas. Each of these areas has an indicator attached to it, and I haven't gone into detail around the indicator. Some are actually good proxies for the information that's going to be is developed and the area. Some actually are not quite so good. But the important thing is, I think, from the cooperatives movement point of view, is that they've taken time to think about, or what is important as a non-financial measure to our organisation. After all, our primary driver, although it is a driver, but it's not a primary driver, is not the bottom line for as a company is. Primary driver of a company is to maximise profit and to maximise shareholder value. That's not necessarily the case with a cooperative, and not necessarily the case with a social business, although some kind of surplus might be important. But there are other things, non-financial things, which are as important. And it's a question of identifying what are the key things for those particular organisations that are being spun out, and then developing indicators, measures that will give you information on them. Just a few brief conclusions. I think to get the best possible financial reporting, we need to engage and interpret. And then I think we also need to develop relevant financial and non-financial performance indicators which enable management to understand and run the organisation, management and members to monitor the organisation, and that are appropriate to report to the stakeholders on. And that's possibly one set of conclusions. Second set of conclusions might be this quote, which I found, which was, the fastest way to succeed is to look as if you're playing by somebody else's rules while quietly playing with your own. Thank you.